It's January 21st, 2026, and sometimes music speaks louder than words. Sometimes people ask, why metal? And why does that piano track that you shared the other day, why does it sound so dark? Well, life is like that. And so too is our Prime Minister. Now, in spite of my cold, I was awake until the wee hours last night. I wasn't thinking about specifics. I was thinking about how I was going to build this video today. I pretty much knew what Trump was going to say, and I got what I expected out of that, and we'll talk about that next, but I need to speak on Carney's speech, and instead of going through it video by video, I just want to, video clip by video clip, I just want to read some quotes, and you can read the full speech if you want to verify this. Canadians will face a painful adjustment as we diversify away from over-reliance on the U.S. market. Our standard of living may take a hit in the short term. Not just short term, it'll be medium, it'll be long term. People are going to feel this. You're going to lose your homes. You're going to lose your jobs. Real wages could stagnate or decline. Do you think you can afford that with cucumbers going for $3 a piece? With a 24 of beer cans, that is, almost $3 a can these days at regular price. I don't buy a lot of it, but I happen to buy some for the stream, Clyde's last stream, which we did last Friday. So I bought some. It's like $68 for 24 cans of beer. That's why I don't buy it. But I'm running out of things to not buy. I mean, you still have to subsist. Real wages could stagnate or decline. Household incomes will feel the squeeze as we rebuild our economic foundations. This isn't a choice. It's a necessity in a world of ruptures. This echoes the dark themes that were prevalent in his election campaign. Even the imagery. When the Liberal Party was posting pictures, it was like they dialed down the brightness. And he preached from the pulpit a message of doom for Canada and pain. And he got elected on it. And I said this might be one of the best politicians to ever grace history, because who has ever campaigned on doom before and won? It wasn't just that he campaigned on fear. He campaigned on doom and essentially said, there's no way to avoid pain. Now, he was honest about that much. Another quote, we must tighten our belts collectively, governments, businesses, and families alike. Public spending will be scrutinized, investments redirected, and yes, there will be tough decisions on taxes and social programs to ensure fiscal sustainability. The era of easy growth is over. We're entering a phase of disciplined restraint. This is the message of austerity. If the Conservatives were in power and Poilievre was delivering this message, everybody would be up in arms. The public sector unions have been issued thousands of pink slips telling them that they're going to be laid off. He's talking here about cuts to social programming, which is the Liberal base's underpinning. But in the shadow of the orange man, Mark Carney is getting away with telling you you're going to live with a lot less, as if you haven't been living with less already under this government, which isn't brand new, folks. It wasn't just elected. This is the same government we've had for a decade that put us in this position. And he's talking about austerity and cuts, increased taxation. That's what you got to get out of this too. Tough decisions on taxes, that means you're going to pay more. The future of Canada, this is a quote, the future of Canada is not one of unbridled prosperity, but of hard-won stability. Global fragmentations means higher costs, supply chain vulnerabilities, and a dimmer horizon for our youth. We face a grim reality. Without bold action, our children's standard of living will be lower than our own. But through sacrifice today, we can forge a more secure tomorrow. Why? Mark, your money's in the United States. So is your family. Your so-called blind trust, which I don't know how. I had a conversation, or an exchange, I should say, with some kid named Nathan. I call him a kid. I don't know how old he is. Struck me as a young man. And he said, but it's in a blind trust. There's nothing blind about a blind trust. The person who places the assets in the trust knows what assets they put in the trust. And thus, when they become prime minister of a nation, they know exactly how to loot that nation to maximize the benefit to their own private holdings. If he was truly the champion of Canada, as he... Actually, I can't even say he poses to be the champion of Canada. He's like the Grim Reaper, man. And he was like that in the election that got him elected. People are like, oh, he's the salvation. He's delivering a message of unnecessary pain to break away from the United States. First off, we cannot break away from the United States. We are geo politically linked. We do 75% of our business with them, and that business is largely derived from one thing, not one commodity, not one asset column, one thing, proximity, because they're right there. That's why China can't do it for a number of reasons. China's not interested in buying what we've got unless it's just commodities that they can turn into finished goods and ship to us. The only thing that we can do with China is continue the deindustrialization of Canada, which leads to more pain, which is what Carney's promising. And Europe can't do it. And I'm going to talk about Europe, believe me, but Europe can't do it. They're not going to buy our products. Proximity is what we need. And we don't have another proximal nation of the appropriate economic scale and size of the United States to walk away from. This is all unnecessary. And there are so many SEALs who are just applauding this. This isn't just talking about Trump, folks. This is talking about a split that transcends Trump and moves into the future. And liberals are fantasizing. They're repackaging his words and giving them entirely different meanings. They're saying that once Trump's gone, we can rebuild and repair those bridges. But Carney's language is one of permanence. Now, there's a reason. This doesn't negate the work that I've done in the last couple of weeks spelling out a scenario where he is doing this in coordination or with the intent of economically integrating Canada by bringing it to its knees. He would have to pose as our savior to be successful. He would have to position himself as the anti-Trump in order to play into Trump's hands. Again, it would both outcomes, dedication to Europe and China or dedication to a plan to economically integrate Canada, which would benefit his assets the most, would have the exact same optics. That's the crazy part about this moment, which is why it's a little bit more difficult to parse. But again, keep as your platform and base that his life's work, the value that he's built for himself, his assets, are all American, baby. The other aspect of his speech that we have to discuss is his nod to the reality of multiple hegemons dominating the relevant regions. And his idea, this notion, which is not a new notion, Canada's been trying this, and I'm going to show you how well it's worked over the last 10 years. But this notion of the middle powers coming together for collective security so that they can ward off the regional hegemons. I want you to picture this in your mind. There's a big old moose. It's already dead. It's just sitting there waiting to be ate. And there's a lion guarding the moose. And there's a bunch of jackals. And they're watching that lion guarding that moose, and they can see that there's a lot of food there for the jackals. They can eat for days. But likewise, there's a bunch of bunny rabbits, and they're just hopping around in the field. And each individual jackal can go and get a bunny. He's going to eat less today, but he's guaranteed to get a meal. Or the jackals can come together to take out the lion and get that big old moose that that lion's guarding. But a couple jackals might get beat up in the process. What do you think the jackals are going to do? Well, they're going to go for the lions. How do we know this? Well, when we scale back up and start talking about national politics, it's been done to Canada time and time again over the last 10 years. And let's go over it briefly. One of the chief problems in our modern era of shorts and TikToks and vines is that people's attention spans are fractured. And in Canada, we have large portion of the population who is heavily propagandized and also suffers from shattered attention spans. I myself, I've been unplugged for over 25 years. I don't watch TV. I'm not served ads. Sometimes when I'm at somebody else's house and they have satellite or cable, I'll stay up until 5 in the morning just watching commercials to see how the psyops are developed commercially these days, but I digress. I'm not going to take you through each individual article. I'm just going to give you a summary for the purpose of saving time. I got to take you back to the G7 summit of 2018. You need historical perspective to understand what's going on. Trudeau publicly criticized Trump's tariffs at the G7 summit back then, which was in Canada, and he echoed EU leaders' tough stance on U.S. protectionism. So Justin Trudeau was put out front by the EU to deliver a really hard-nosed message to the United States. But days later, and I remember this at the time, I'm pretty sure I covered this at the time, within days, all of those EU leaders went home and they cut a deal with Trump, avoided escalation, and we were left in the lurch. They just left Canada on its own to drag out those negotiations. We looked like fools. The same thing happened in 2018 when the EU coordinated with Trudeau to retaliate against U.S. tariffs imposed in March 2018, using Canada to amplify the message of a unified opposition. Within weeks, the EU negotiated exemptions and quotas directly with Trump, while Canada was left to deal with ongoing retaliatory measures until a separate USMCA adjustment was made. The USMCA, which we are about to lose with our biggest trading partner that is absolutely 100% irreplaceable. There's no talk of repairing the damage. There's no talk of Canadians on the left side of the spectrum even taking an ounce of responsibility for the terrible position our nation is in right now, for our denuded military, for our weakened stance on trade, for our deconstructed manufacturing and industrial base. We have destroyed ourselves, and we have relied on the United States and become totally dependent on them for defense and for our economy. We did this. This was part of a strategy that was, by the way, it was bipartisan. People keep bringing up the talking point as though it's some kind of own. They're just like, you were quiet when Harper signed the Foreign Investment Protection Act. And it's like, ah, man, I wasn't. I thought it was a terrible idea then. I think it's a terrible idea now. I thought the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Carney specifically cited in his speech, was a terrible idea. These are continuations of bad policy that is bipartisan in nature, all amplifying the problems that we have with the United States, which are the problems that we need to be fixing. We're just getting more adversarial. And that's at least partly on us. You know, there's all kinds of people who talk about conflict mediation. One of the ways that you mediate a conflict is by admitting your responsibility for the situation you're in. Even if the other party is toxic, and I'm not saying that in this situation, I'm saying that you can't 100% blame the Americans for everything, especially when we have such a wide scope of self-criticisms that we could easily engage with. But we're not doing that. Another analysis I read, which I have a link up, but why even bother showing you, how the EU used multilateral forums with Trump's involvement to pressure Trump on NAFTA and tariffs, and then swiftly bilateralized deals, effectively isolating Canada from immediate relief. The only point I'm trying to make here is that the EU, time and time again, has hung us out to dry. And since we're here, you know, Trump says no new tariffs against the EU after parties agree to trade negotiations cutting out Canada. Here's the CBC writing an article about how, even though, you know, they're going to cover for Trudeau in this thing, which is what they do, but how the US and the EU made a deal by themselves, which is what they'll do again. And we'll get into that because that is the key component of what Trump had to say in Davos. But we're going to do this one at a time. This article on screen from the Hill Times. Canada alone, what other world leaders have said publicly about Trump's 51st state threats. International affairs professor Michael Maniluk says world leaders are holding back comments so far because they're unsure about how serious to take the 51st state rhetoric and whether it was genuine or whether it was just bluster. The EU will play both sides of the fence. The strong don't come to the aid of the weak. And the weak especially don't come to the aid of the weak when there are 3,000 plus miles of ocean between them. And none of those nations have a navy respectable enough to do anything with the United States anyway. They will not burn themselves down over Canada. One of the rules of life is that nations and people are motivated by self-interest. Another rule of life that you should keep in mind is that gratitude is a debt to be disposed of. I'm not saying that you should behave without honor, because I believe in the nobility of pursuing a higher ideal. and actually doing the right thing. I build my life around this. But it doesn't mean that I don't recognize that when it comes to the affairs of nations and even people, the vast majority of people have abandoned these principles or are increasingly abandoning these principles. Self-interest motivates everything. I think back to the Athenians and the Delian League, which was put together to protect against the Persians. When Sparta was rising and saber rattling and becoming mighty, Athens thought they could depend on the Delian League, their loyal allies, with everything that they had done for each of them in turn. Do you know what happened? They abandoned Athens, and they had a lot more reason, let me tell you, to stand by Athens than Europe has to stand by Canada. Athens was powerful, they had the money, but all that did was lead to one thing. Can you guess what it was? Resentment. Resentment. Canada doesn't even have that going for itself. We're on our own. We've tried this strategy. Europe have not been loyal friends. And from 2016 and 2017 and 2018 forward, Canada has done nothing but insult the United States at every opportunity, and it's a miracle that we've gone this far without either Biden or Trump having something to say about it, because even during the Biden years, we engaged in this kind of nonsense. We have a really high opinion of ourselves with very little to back it up, and we are dependent. We're a dependency. So let's move on to Trump at the WEF, and we don't need to watch it. I mean, the pertinent thing is, you know what? I'm just going to completely alter my story. And instead of not watching, we are going to watch after all.
We're building a golden dome that's going to, just by its very nature, going to be defending Canada. Canada gets a lot of freebies from us, by the way. They should be grateful also, but they're not. I watched your Prime Minister yesterday, he wasn't so grateful. But they should be grateful to us. Canada lives because of the United States. Remember that, Mark, the next time you make your statements.
Now, my response right out the gate to this, after you dismiss the fact that people are critical about superficial things like how tired he sounds or that he touted his long list of professed accomplishments, which are always a bit of an exaggeration. Of course, he's blustery, but I don't care about any of that. I don't care about optics. I don't care about sounds. I care about what is. And my first response to this is, since we're going to lose the USMCA and since we have picked this adversarial path where the Prime Minister is promising nothing but pain for Canadians, like, I mean, do people actually hear what he says? This is all unnecessary. And we're out there bloviating, depending on a Europe that is not going to come to our aid. And virtue signaling about coming to the defense of Greenland with what? I have no idea. We couldn't possibly be in a worse situation if you care about Canadian sovereignty, because our sovereignty has been gutted and China and Qatar are not the answers, reparations and repair to our relationship with the United States. That's the answer. That's the fundamental answer. And my response to this was July 2026. Feels like we're building towards a pay-per-view. That's when the USMCA comes up for a review, and that's when I think the pain gets real. Totally unnecessary. We don't have to do this, but we're choosing to do it. And keep in mind, against the backdrop of everything that I'm saying, once again, Mark Carney's wealth is in the United States. That's where he's built his life. You really need to consider the implications of that and what it could mean. But let's talk about Greenland specifically. Trump has ruled out, after all of the buildup, he said, I'm not going in there militarily. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to have it. And we have to have negotiations about it coming to the United States. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what the price is going to be. But you need to understand something about the relationship between the United States and Europe. The Ukrainian war has done nothing but leave them far more dependent on the United States than they were beforehand, because in reality, Europe needs Russian energy more than they need the United States. But for some stupid reason, they have chosen this road where they have to fight this war in Ukraine at all costs, to the last Ukrainian man. Total tragedy. War should have been over. War shouldn't have happened. under this notion that the Russians are trying to rebuild their empire. They don't have the demography to rebuild the empire. They don't have the money, and they don't have the interest. Who wants a dependency of Europe? You might want their capital, but you don't want to have to manage it. There's no push to rebuild the Russian empire. But in light of this, the Europeans can't even keep the lights on, let alone their factories running or people warm in the wintertime without mass importation of American liquefied natural gas. Now, here's an article from just March 31st of 2024. Can't believe that's almost 2 years ago. Canada not interested in investing in LNG facilities, energy minister says. Now, Carney's supposedly flipping the script on this, but he's still dedicated to this net zero nonsense. And it's interesting because FICO, had to pause for a minute to bring up the article so you can see who this guy is. He is the Slovak leader, Prime Minister Robert FICO. He says the EU is an institution in deep crisis, and he is not wrong. Eastern Europe, Southern Eastern Europe, Italy, interests are diverging within the EU because of their terrible foreign policy and their terrible view of resources. One of the main sticking points is this net zero nonsense, which Carney seems to be dedicated to. And in this memorandum of understanding that exists between Carney and Alberta about a fantasy pipeline that will never get built, there's so many carbon requirements in it. And this world that Carney's talking about in his Davos speech, this world, this multipolar world of competing hegemons, isn't going to be concerned about net zero. It's going to be concerned about resources, developing resources, capturing resources, control of sea lanes. All of this net zero carbon nonsense, which is what it is. It's just a bunch of hot air. It does nothing. Carbon is not driving climate. It's a great big cash cow myth that made a lot of people a lot of money, but it doesn't represent actual environmentalism in any way, shape, or form. And I actually wonder if by saying that, I'm going to get a warning label from YouTube, because they often put warning labels on anything discussing climate change. Let's watch for that. Either way, FICO's right. And this is a guy, by the way, who survived an assassination attempt by some crazy European, and is one of many instances where you can see the hand of Brussels trying to interfere in the internal political dynamics of member nations to stop them from having an opinion or breaking away from the EU. This bureaucracy is way out of control, and we can't depend on this bureaucracy. And we have nothing to offer them because of this. It would take us years. We have one facility in Kitimat, BC, that has started shipping natural gas, I believe, in July of 2025, off the top of my head. You can fact check me on that if you want. We don't have anything facing the Atlantic. So the Europeans need the Americans a lot more than they need Canada. They need American manpower. They need American troops. They need American liquid natural gas. And they need far more other things from the United States. And this is why, when it comes to the issue of Greenland, I highlighted in yesterday's video that Greenland is leverage. Trump wants an end to the Ukraine war. And he has all of these things that he can withhold from Europe. He has all of this leverage, and by going for Greenland, he's increasing that leverage to a point where they might actually agree to what needs to happen in Ukraine, which is a settlement which yields Russia a very large chunk of land. Because those people that are being fought over are Russian. They're ethnic Russians who are being eliminated by the government of Kiev, who are being targeted for destruction. Their culture, their language, their churches, the people themselves. Nobody wants to talk about what happened between 2014 and 2021. The introduction to yesterday's video, there's a bunch of articles that are just kind of smacked into that musical intro where you could just read what's on the screen, type those words into Google, read the relevant articles. Everybody up to the start of the Ukraine war recognized, A, that the Ukrainian government was corrupt and was engaged in practical ethnic cleansing in the east of Ukraine. The United Nations, human rights organizations, international bodies out the wazoo, all wrote lengthy reports about Ukraine that nobody gave a living damn about. And then when the war started, not only did they not give a damn about that, they disappeared the history of the conflict and where it actually came from. The very first opening clip in yesterday's video is John McCain standing in Kiev at the Maidan Square, while the coup is taking place. This is history. This is how things work. And Trump is trying to interrupt this conflict before it even starts. There's this other idea that Israel entirely calls the shots of the Trump administration for their own purposes. I think there's some merit to that, but I don't think it's total. He's resisted a regime change war in Iran, which would be the might be the very end of the empire. Iran is a very big, geographically diverse place. And I'm not sure if there is an arc arrangement, an axis underneath the surface of America, Russia, and China trying to counter this old Davos influence, all these central bankers, and create individual settlement layers and move into this multipolar world, which Carney talked about. If that is the case, I don't think they can tolerate America being involved in Iran, but I digress. Trump comes out and he basically says, I'm not looking to militarily acquire Greenland, but I'm going to acquire it anyway. We need to begin negotiations right away. And those negotiations are going to be directly tied to the leverage that the United States, the enormous leverage the United States has over Europe. The U.S. has largely, over many years, decades, been governed in the interests of the financiers, the banks, the City of London, the World Economic Forum. And Trump has kind of upset that table over the last 10 years. And you can love him, you can hate him, you can do whatever the hell you want. You can say that he represents elitist interests. There's, you know, something like 3,000 billionaires in the world. 900 of them are in the United States. They don't all agree with each other. They don't all serve the same master. You know, Trump actually retruthed a very interesting quip about how they're all in a death cult, all of these Europeans. The president of the United States retweeted that. Some would say he's involved in the exact same thing. I'm not so sure of all of it, or any of the particulars, I should say. But I would imagine there's a large group of billionaires in the United States that just don't want to follow along with the World Economic Forum. It seems pretty obvious, right, that they're upsetting the tables and they're trying to reorganize the Western Hemisphere around this concept of Fortress North America and this new Monroe Doctrine. So there is a genuine conflict among the elites. And you and I are not elites. We're trying to read the events. We're trying to understand what's happening. And the United States has an enormous amount of leverage to reposition itself in this world. Canada does not. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but you should have noticed out of Davos so far, everything you've heard, their language is soft. Canada's language goes really hard. We are sticking our head above the firing line. And you know what happens next? It's obvious. Justin Trudeau set the model of allowing himself to be put out in front for European interests and then being left in the lurch. It'll happen to us again. The only question of any relevance at this point is whether or not this is intentional on Carney's part to put us in a position where the suffering is so great that we have to be integrated, which would help his blind trust, his so-called blind trust and his assets and Brookfield Management and all of these investment houses that he's tied in would benefit American interests. Over the course of time, it would benefit all of us. You see, here's the thing, and I'll try to wrap this up. Without a solid geopolitical relationship with the United States, it's going to be next to impossible for the average Canadian to prosper. And I'm not the one that delivered that message. That was Mark Carney. He told you that. So why are we doing it? And the temptation is to say, because of Trump. It doesn't make any sense. To protect a few cartels, we want to sacrifice the entire welfare of the nation? There's only one game in town. And that is the relationship we have with our partners here in North America. Europe's not coming to our rescue. We stand alone yet again. And the only question is are Canadians going to wake up to that fact and actually hold the big red machine to account? I'm not so sure. I look with interest to the separatist movements in Alberta and Saskatchewan right now. That's pretty much my chief political hope in Canada at this moment, because I don't have any faith in the mass of the polity to wake up and actually acknowledge reality. At any rate, this has gone on long enough. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider supporting it. Keep your stick on the ice, eh? I'll see you in the next one.